Sportsnet.com.
So we made a list of who was naughty and nice, and we're going to send it to Santa Claus. Yes, America, we believe in the funny man in the red suit. I'm mailing it to the North Pole tomorrow. Wait till you see who made my naughty and my nice list. Where would I put Julian Assange? Do you know the name? We're going to talk about him next. Coast to coast and all those spaces in between, welcome aboard. Thrilled to have you with us as we're starting to usher out 2010. More people that I bump into have told me lately that they are so glad this year is over. It's just been a horrific year. Oh, this happened, and geez, that happened, and I hated the winter months, and it was rough in the summer. I thought 2010 was okay. When we look back at the stories, which we're going to do next week, there were some brutal stories. Of course, we had the oil spill that captivated us all from April all the way through the summer, and then destroyed the ecosystem of God knows how many spots along our coastline. BP is still out there crawling along. And you know, we took our show to the Mississippi Gulf Coast, did eat the seafood, everything was fine. Know that there weren't the tar balls really showing up on the beaches. That was the great news. And they are starting to see some of their tourism business come back. But a little bit of it. A lot of that has to do with the casinos. Boy, they were hit hard, weren't they? We talked about that. And obviously, Louisiana had a very tough time as well. Honestly, I think Governor Jindal was going to come out of his heels. So, actually, to give you a preview of the naughty and the nice list, I have to say, BP makes the naughty list. And especially that dingbat CEO who blew it out of the gate when he was off at a cigarette boat race while the oil was leaking. Oh, I've got to go to the cigarette boat races on the Isle of Wight. I don't have time for an oil spill. He just made some stupid errors, I think, in the way he handled the media. So, of course, he was replaced, not replaced in the company, because he got booted out to a better project. And there are other people that make the naughty and nice list, so I don't want to give it all away. I did set this up and say Julian Assange. You know that name, right? Think WikiLeaks. Assange, WikiLeaks. Yeah, he's the guy who flooded the internet with all of the secret documents, especially the documents from the State Department, 250,000 of them. But, of course, previous to that, there was the blot on the Pentagon because of what some of the things that had happened in Afghanistan. And, oh, yes, those informants. Ooh, accidentally, their names were all out there. We haven't heard any blowback from that, so knock on wood, that's a good thing. So as for Assange, he's been in prison in London. His bail was set on Tuesday, $316,000, which is a mere pittance for Assange, so no big deal, right? So the founder could easily cough that up. He was probably excited that he was going to get out of the joint. But alas, a couple of hours later, he was told he would not be released from prison. Sounds like a movie, doesn't it? The reason why is because the Swedes don't like this. The Swedes are saying that we're challenging the decision of the British court. So after spending the week, he's now going to be in there for at least, who knows, maybe at least a couple more days. He's saying he didn't do anything wrong in Sweden. He refused to voluntarily surrender to the Swedes' request to extradite him for questioning, arguing that he would be questioned by the British blokes. So it was a huge day of drama in the courtroom. You know, they wear those funny wigs in, did you know that? They wear the funny wigs in England, the lawyers there. That's what they do. It's like a throwback to the Washingtonian days. They wear them. That's their deal. I don't know. Strange, right? wonder if they have good wig makers there. Anyway, the 39-year-old Assange was first told, like I said, by a judge, ding, you're freed. And then he was told, get back into your prison garb because you're going to be in custody for at least a couple more days. And, of course, the United States would really like to go after Assange. Eric Holder, the attorney general, is looking into what he could possibly go after him for. There's that little espionage law from 1917 that could come into play, although I don't think it will. It's funny because when he was in court, he was seated and he didn't have any shackles on. A lot of times they'll, doesn't matter who it is, they'll keep them shackled, but he was just listening and waiting and wanting to find out more information. And he is wanted, by the way, for questioning after two women accused him of sexual misconduct. So you decide, Julian Assange, does he go on the naughty or the nice list? If you were making one up for Santa, and like I said, well, we've got one. All right, coming up on this show, too, we've got a couple of really good guests waiting in our virtual green room. I'd love to hear a conversation between these two guys, too. John Cho is going to talk about Cuba. Do you know it's been 50 years since a man named Castro took over? Of course, the United States at the time, you're looking at, what, 1959 or so, thought this is just a rebellion. This is going to go away. But it really didn't go away, did it? He's going to tell us what Cuba has gone through and what it's like now. He's written extensively about it, and that's John Cho. And also Stephen Chouhet is going to join us because he's on the left coast to talk about movies, 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 movies. And the holiday season is a big time for movies. The Golden Globes were just announced, and he's all about the Hollywood trivia and the knowledge of Hollywood in the past versus now what it's like today. So that should be a whole lot of fun. Another big story that we're going to talk about later this hour is President Obama preparing a strategy review. So two reports say there is a teeny weensy chance of the Afghan war success. And the only way is Pakistan has to hunt down insurgents or forget about it pretty much. I'll go deeper on this report for what it's worth. But the Prez is arming up, so to speak, for the end game, we think, on Afghanistan. Call me a little skeptical, because I still don't think we're going to have an end game for it. How about the TSA? The TSA also making a little bit of noise, and, of course, they have been for the enhanced pat-downs and the x-rays. Now the TSA says, you know what, we are going to look at health concerns because we're concerned too. So people who are traveling that do have health problems can alert the airport screeners because there was that big showdown. Remember the one guy with the medical condition who had to go through the pat down and then it turned out he had a colostomy bag and that burst and all that nonsense. So now they've got these medical notification cards that you can show to an airport security screener. And it doesn't exempt you from screening, but it gives you a way to let them know about what your condition is. And perhaps they'll be a little more gentle. We'll put it that way. All right, we're talking Cuba next here on ATN.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I'm 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. Why Ali-C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Ali-C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Ali-C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Ali-C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Ali-C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Ali-C today.
Curious are you about Cuba? Remember a couple of years ago, now it's been like 3 years, when there were all those reports about Fidel Castro and that he might have been dead, and that it was the pictures that were being released of Castro were fake pictures, and then that's piqued the curiosity of a lot of people, and Raul, his brother, took over the reins of the government for a while. Do you know it's been over 50 years since the Cuban Revolution? I go back and I think about that, and, you know, you've seen some of the popular movies on it, right? And you dissect what happened in the Castro reign, and when Castro put his arms around this small island back in 1959, really most American politicians didn't think that Castro was going to last very long, but the last laugh, I guess, was on them, because this regime has gone through everything and batted down any of the challenges. I mean, Castro continues to somehow survive and, I guess you could say, thrive. So we thought it'd be fun to have an expert. I'm going to call him an expert on Cuba, Jonathan Sho. He's written about it, and he's been a frequent visitor to that island. Jonathan, thanks for popping on America Tonight.
Hey, it's a great pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
Tell me about your first trip to Cuba and what it was like.
Well, it's an interesting story. I got there by accident probably before I could find the island on a map. I was living in the city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and they sent an academic group down to Cuba as part of a sister city relationship. And I was asked to join the delegation as the only business person. And the government of Cuba was a gracious host, but predictably showed us all those things they wanted us to see, some of their health care systems and the progress they'd made in rural development. And I sneaked over to Havana and got to see more of the country than I might have otherwise, and became quite enamored with it.
Yeah, and what you saw was it, it was still in the, it was in the pre-Castro days, right?
Well, Fidel Castro, of course, was in charge. His presence out in the countryside is not as as strongly felt that it is in the city of Havana.
Mm. And so did you feel, what sense did you get? What was your vibe from the people at the time?
Well, Kate, it's very interesting. It's a land of contradictions. I found the people to be fundamentally happy, healthy, and content. And yet, by any standard that we in America would have, they're clearly denied a lot of basic freedoms and economic opportunity. So it's very frustrating for the Cubans to live under that sort of regime.
Yeah. Somebody told me I used to be married to a Cuban-American man, and his father escaped Cuba. He was a doctor and got his whole family out, and then they eventually settled in Miami. And, boy, I'll tell you, Jonathan, the stories that they told me, if you, of course, disagreed with Castro and you were vocal about it, then they were looking for you at the time. And what they told me was they would also mark your house. So your house would be marked if you were what I'll call, for lack of a better way to describe it, a dissenter. Did you find any of that?
There's no question. There's a national system of neighbors watching neighbors, and there are very few secrets on that island. It's really Fidel's family farm. Nothing escapes his attention, and there is a sense of government in your face and paranoia about the consequences of stepping out of line.
Yeah. You worked in the Nixon White House. What did you do in that White House?
In those days, I was involved in international economic trade and trade policy negotiations. So we were opening up Eastern Europe and the Soviet Union and trying to reduce issues of trade imbalances with countries like Japan at the time. So it was basic international economic trade issues.
Yeah. And looking at the trade issues from those early conversations to what we've seen now, what do you think, based on your best judgment, we can see in the future as far as Cuba and the U.S.?
Well, Cuba has been isolated from trade with the U.S. since the embargo went into force in the early 60s.
Yeah.
That's an interesting question because I think there are terrific opportunities for the U.S. to export both its goods and its brain power and its services to Cuba. And that, of course, creates jobs and wealth back here in the United States. From the Cuban side, of course, they can't wait to have access to the U.S. market to sell their goods, and especially to open the island to American tourism.
Yeah, and of course, there's different schools of thought on that as far as tourism is concerned. But I mentioned this before you jumped on. I think a lot of people are curious and would like to go to Cuba and like to see what that culture is like. With the lanes opened up, if the lanes really, truly opened up, do you think we would see a lot of travel to Cuba?
Yes, Kate. The smart experts in both countries are estimating that at least 1 million Americans will try to get to Cuba for tourism the first year that it's open to American citizens.
Yeah.
That will overwhelm the island. Their total tourism today is only a little over 2 million.
Yeah. What do you think happens? You know, I was talking about, and you heard me when I was introducing you about the reports of Fidel Castro's demise were greatly exaggerated, and he is still alive. The guy has like 9 lives. When Castro dies, what happens to Cuba?
Well, there's a lot of speculation, everything from a U.S. invasion to a civil war. The consensus of the folks I talk to on both sides of the Florida Straits is that there are a lot of well-trained, serious professionals, both internationally and domestically, in Cuba. They're in the wings. They're ready to assume power. And while they're very proud of the legacy of revolution and change for the last 50 years, they're ready to move on, have some individual progress, economic opportunity, political freedom. So I think there's every reason to expect a fairly smooth transition when the Castro brothers move off the scene.
Yeah. You traveled 80 times. I read 80 times. Is that right? You've gone there 80 times, Jonathan?
Yes, indeed, and probably be there another 10 times in the next 6 months.
Wow. So when you go back in the next 6 months, what will you be looking for? What will you write about?
Well, I'm always looking for very subtle signals of change down there, Kate. And the Cubans are very clever people. If you look around and nothing appears to be happening, but suddenly you're seeing shrubbery being planted on a roadside, well, that has powerful meaning because the top people in the country made that decision, and it means they're reaching out to the people and trying to create a better environment for them and show some progress by the central government. So I have my eye on the more subtle smoke signals. The change of power will be in the headlines, and everyone will read about that. But there's a lot of baby steps being taken that are sort of low visibility at this time.
Yeah, and obviously with your passport, you have no trouble getting in there. Do you pretty much know a lot of the players? Because 80 times plus, that's a lot. You have carte blanche there, right?
Well, it's true. I have a lot of friends and a great network of contacts in Cuba. And I'm trusted because FaceTime matters to them. A lot of folks drop in for a visit and make lots of promises and hopes and never return, but I keep on showing up like a bad penny. And the people I've gone down there with have done some very good deeds. We took in a large shipment of wheelchairs and actually assembled them ourselves last spring. So they welcome Americans who are truly interested in seeing the country progress and move out of this rigid period that it's been locked in for half a century.
Yeah. Interesting stuff. Jonathan Schoen, and the name of the book, by the way, is Cuba Rising, an American Insider's Perspective. Jonathan, thanks for joining us. We'd love to have you back on the show. We look forward to that.
Great talking to you. Thank you.
All right. How about that, boy? When it's all said and done, 90, he's going to be like 90 times he's been down there, and listen to what he has to say, because I think he's right. Eventually the lanes of travel, if it gets opened up, it'll be interesting, because you'll see a lot of people that will try to make their way to Cuba. All right, we're talking movies here on the flip side.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendivite, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How's it made, Don?
Well, Extendivite is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendivite continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42, I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Do you want to get away from additives and preservatives in your food? Need alternatives to conventional food preparation? Do you want to save the fruits of your gardening labor? And are you looking for an excellent gift idea? Then check out the Excalibur Dehydrator. Dehydration is one of the healthiest, most cost-effective, and fun ways to feed yourself and your family. Make healthy snacks like fruit roll-ups and beef jerky. Store healthy food in case of an emergency with no added salts, fats, or preservatives. and save hundreds of dollars by drying it yourself with the Excalibur Dehydrator. The Excalibur Dehydrator comes with an industry-leading exclusive 10-year warranty. And when you order, you'll receive a free book filled with amazing easy recipes, a $25 value free for a limited time. Just mention coupon code GCN. Learn more and order your Excalibur Dehydrator today at drying123.com. That's drying123.com. drying123.com. Or call 1-800-875-4254. That's 1-800-875-4254. Season's greetings and health and wellness from Excalibur Dehydrator.
In a coming apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, tow line, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Do you have pain from an injury or headache? Would you like to alleviate that pain in 10 minutes? Science has now figured out how to put sound frequencies into a kale and clay and polymer gel. Once applied to the area of injury, frequency signals are transmitted that activates the release of prostaglandin hormones. Your body's own prostaglandin hormones go to work to eliminate inflammation. The result is the elimination of pain in 10 minutes for 90% of users. We have thermography pictures to prove its effectiveness. Here's what Jody from San Diego had to say. I have a weakness in my neck from a car accident. About once a month I have neck pain, and the only thing that has ever helped is going to the chiropractor. To my surprise, the Knockout Pain Cream took away the headache and my neck seemed just fine. No adjustment required. The product has already paid for itself. To order or learn more about Knockout Pain Cream, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit knockoutpaincream.com.
This year, are you going to see some movies over the holidays? Golden Globe nominations were announced in Los Angeles early in the morning, and there's some, real curiosities among the bunch. We're going to talk about that. But joining us from our virtual green room, somebody who really knows the history, especially of old Hollywood. I mean, that there are some great tales that he has told on this show. And we're going to have him on each and every week to talk Hollywood stuff with us. And his name is Stephen Shohat. You guys know him. You've written to me about him. You love this guy. And it's interesting because I think what's starting to happen is what's old is now new. The remake, it looks like the remake is big. I don't know if it's a new trend or what, but it's looking that way. And I'll tell you a movie I definitely want to see, True Grit. I can't believe I want to see it because can anybody do that character better than John Wayne? I'm not sure, but I know I'm intrigued by it. And the Coen brothers have put this new True Grit together, and that I love these guys, so it makes it that much more fascinating to me. Stephen, as always, a pleasure to have you on the show.
Hey, thanks, Kate. Pleasure talking with you. And it's interesting that the True Grit got no nominations today from the Golden Globes, and the LA Times was speculating that they were comparing Jeff Bridges to John Wayne. But, you know, I think Jeff Bridges will do a fine job, and I haven't seen the movie yet. But of course, John Wayne, really, I mean, in some ways, that was his definitive role.
Yeah, what was it about True Grit that just gravitated people toward that movie? And still, it's one of the classics that a lot of people will go back and watch.
Yeah, well, it was an interesting time. John Wayne was exhausted. He had just made the movie The Green Berets, which was an absolute triumph at the box office, even though he had been lambasted by critics, especially critics who didn't agree with him politically. And he was happy to take them on and fight the fight, although sometimes he lamented a little bit that he really didn't want to be such a political guy, but he felt he was forced to be because liberal ideology was just driving our country off in a wrong direction. But you know, he was older. There were problems when he made the movie The Green Berets. Like for example, there were scenes where his character was standing by a helicopter and it would blow his toupee off, so they had to be shot over and over and over, and you know, all the verbal battles that he had gone through, and with the press asking him about the movie and the critics hating it. And then he read the story of True Grit in the Saturday Evening Post, and he tried to buy it. He was outbid by Hal Wallace, the producer. He called Wallace up on the phone to congratulate him, although he was cursing him out a little bit for having beaten the Duke to the punch. And Hal Wallace said, "Well, wait a minute, Duke, I want you to star in the movie." And John Wayne was very, very happy to get that role. And when he was making the movie, I mean, it was just, in one way, it was peace and quiet because they were on location in Colorado and there was very little press around. And he finally felt relieved to be away from a lot of the battles that he had fought in the past year. Now, on the other hand, there were some tumultuous things going on the set. John Wayne did not get along well with his co-star, Kim Darby. She didn't have much experience. The director, Henry Hathaway, had seen her in a couple episodes of Gunsmoke and thought she'd be perfect for the role. But John Wayne thought she was very, very unprofessional and said so. She was constantly arguing with her husband on the set. And John Wayne felt that, you know, he who had been married three times felt that such things should not cross over into your work. And he said he had no chemistry with her whatsoever. Now, the interesting thing is that Kim Darby really liked John Wayne and said, "Well, he didn't talk to me when we were off camera, but when we were on camera, that, you know, his gruff exterior and my performance, there was this great chemistry between us." And it just, people for years had felt that John Wayne was underrated as an actor. I mean, he used to be self-deprecating, call himself a reactor rather than an actor. But you know, there was just something about him and that character that really came through. Now, John Wayne said that the key to the whole thing was wearing an eye patch. And he said, you know, if I would have known that this would give me an Oscar, I would have put on an eye patch like 30 years ago.
Yeah, and then notice, too, Jeff Bridges, you know, as they're showing snippets of it, he's they're no dummy, the Coen brothers. They're copying the whole eye patch thing. So I'll be curious how much they make that. The character's obviously going to be different in a lot of ways, but I think there's going to be a kind of some similarities to John Wayne because of all the things you just described, how perfect he was for that part. I think that they'll give him some homage. Do you?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I think they're going to follow the book a little bit closer. In the book, True Grit, the character of Mattie Ross is actually an old lady and reminiscing, and I think they're gonna do that narrative kind of like they did in Titanic, sort of, where the older lady, you know, turns into the younger lady for the benefit of the story. And there'll definitely be differences. I mean, one thing that Henry Hathaway was really upset about when he made the movie, True Grit, the original, the director, was Glenn Campbell. Glenn Campbell played the character of LaBeouf, the Texas Ranger, who's also after the bad guy Chaney in the movie. And Henry Hathaway said that Glenn Campbell, I only hired him just so he could sing some songs to help the soundtrack. His performance was awful. I mean, I'm sure not every moviegoer felt that way, but Henry Hathaway did. And you know, so they have Matt Damon playing that role this time. So, you know, maybe that'll be more effective and more dramatic. And you know, I don't know if Jeff Bridges can win the Oscar. You know, John Wayne, like a lot of actors, it was the second time he had been nominated for an Oscar, and he really wanted to win it very badly. And he went and he watched every performance that was against him. It was Dustin Hoffman in Midnight Cowboy, John Boyd in Midnight Cowboy, Peter O'Toole in The Lion in Winter, and Richard Burton in Anne of a Thousand Days. And he became convinced that Richard Burton was going to win because it was his time, although he wanted to win desperately. And then you know what happened? He ran into Richard Burton in Beverly Hills the night of the Oscars. They were both staying at the Beverly Hills Hotel, and neither man could speak to each other because they were so nervous. And then John Wayne won, and he told the reporters at the Academy Awards, "No interviews tonight. This is my night to howl." And Richard Burton was very depressed, went back to his hotel room, was drinking vodka, heard this pounding on the door, assumed it was his wife, and said, "Go away, Elizabeth." And this big booming voice said, "It ain't Elizabeth." And John Wayne kicked in the door and said, "I want to talk to you." And both men spent the night drinking and telling stories to each other.
Oh, wouldn't you love to be a fly on the wall and listen to some of those stories? I'm sure they had some good exchanges, right?
Yeah, I'm sure they did. I don't know what they said, but but I'm sure they had I'm sure at least at the beginning they had a lot of fun things to say. Although I think it was generally thought that John Wayne could hold his liquor very well, and Richard Burton was another story.
How much do you think in telling that story there and about awards, and we just mentioned going into your segment about the Golden Globes being announced, the nominations, how much do you think actors and directors and the people in Hollywood care about the awards? How big are they? Because they always poo-poo it. You know that, Stephen. They always say, "Oh, just to be nominated, that's fine." But I think they really care more than they let on. What do you think?
I think it differs from person to person. You know, I think if they're older, they care a little bit more. I mean, just for example, you watch the difference between Dustin Hoffman when he won the Academy Award for Kramer versus Kramer, and he really poo-pooed it that night and was rebellious and said that this whole award ceremony, how dare they pit one actor after the other? I mean, against the other. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but then when he won the Academy Award for Rain Man a few years later, when maybe roles are getting a little bit harder to get, you could tell that he was exceedingly happy. And I think that happens to a certain extent. I think generally, the older you get, the more you might appreciate it, because it really is a great honor. I mean that your peers, especially in the acting field, would vote for you. And you know, even back then, Hollywood used to be a really, generally conservative place. And then, you know, it was basically turning very liberal at that point. And I think for John Wayne to be loved and appreciated by people who really didn't agree with him politically, what was just a fantastic honor for him. In fact, you know, who presented him the award that night was Barbara Streisand.
Mm.
She had won the year before for Funny Girl, and they embraced that night. So, I think it was just a great honor. John Wayne was such a likable guy. No matter how much people disagreed with him politically, they got along with him well. In fact, you know, Katharine Hepburn was very left-wing. She loved him on Rooster Cogburn. The columnist Sheila Graham was very left-wing, but she said, you know, she probably would have married John Wayne if he would have asked her to.
Sure, Kusha, they liked him.
People just liked him. He was just, just a wonderful man. And, I happen to agree with him politically, so that makes him even more likable for me.
There you go. Stephen, show had, as always, we enjoy it. We'll keep doing it each and every week, and then we're going to take a little break for the holidays. But Hollywood Stories is the name of the book, short, entertaining little anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies. And
right, HollywoodStories.com is the website.
All right, excellent. Stephen, happy holidays, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hang with us, odds and ends, as we turn the page.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
All types of batteries for all types of gadgets. We'll say it again. All types of batteries for all types of gadgets. Electronics, toys, flashlights, computers, accessories, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Whatever type battery you need, alkaline, lithium, gel cell, NiCad, metal hydride, sealed lead acid, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Our homepage gives you quick access to ham, marine, police, fire, and aviation batteries. Plus, choose from our great selection of LED flashlights with no bulb to ever burn out and much longer battery life. Find many top brands, including Streamlight, Pelican, Surefire, Novatek, Gerber, and more at BatteryStation.com. You'll also find the most popular brands of ammunition and watertight cases for storing guns, food, electronics, survival gear, and more at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. You will be surprised when you visit BatteryStation.com.
What if you could enjoy a refreshing cigarette without worrying about your health? Great news! Now you can enjoy everything you love about a cigarette without everything you hate. It's called the VaporMate e-cig, and it's made by Smokeaway, so you know it's good. VaporMate utilizes patented microelectronic technology that mixes rich tobacco flavor with harmless water vapor. It tastes like a cigarette, smokes like a cigarette, and best of all, it calms you down like a cigarette should. And if you call in the next 30 minutes, we'll give you your VaporMate e-cig kit valued at $129 free. No more secondhand smoke, smelly clothes, hacking and coughing. Just the great flavor and calming sensation of a real cigarette you can smoke anywhere. Claim your VaporMate when you get your tobacco-flavored filters free. A $129 value, yours free. Imagine the money you'll save each month. But you must call now.
Call 800-540-7570. That's 800-540-7570. Again, 1-800-540-7570.
Just walk away, pretending everything's okay, and you don't care about me. And I know it's just no use when all your lies become.
So Justin Bieber, Naughty or Nice, the kid singer. What list would you put him on if you were sending it to Santa? I just say that because my nephew likes Justin Bieber. I don't get it personally, but I'm not 9 years old. So, and I think he only likes Justin Bieber, really, because the girls are starting to flirt with him, and he knows it's a good thing to like Justin Bieber's music, so he knows the lyrics to impress them. So he's getting the game already at nine. So Bieber, he's a kid. I mean, can you really put a kid like him on the naughty list? I guess you got to put him on the nice list. Julian Assange, got to put him on the naughty list, but you might disagree. Who makes your list, and where would you put them? That's where we start here with odds and ends. And speaking of lists, we didn't even really jump to that too much. I don't want to pound you with too much entertainment stuff, but the Gold Globe nominations were announced in the wee hours on the West Coast. And some of the movies that made the best picture list, I guess I was kind of surprised by. You might not feel the same way. Inception was one, and I actually liked Inception. I know there were people that didn't. I thought Leonardo DiCaprio was good in it. And also on that list was another movie that might surprise a few people. And I'm going to talk about that here in a second. But I'm getting some breaking news, so let's roll a little bit with the breaking news. And the breaking news has to do with what happened in a Florida courtroom. Did anybody hear this story during the day? Crazy stuff. I mean, a couple of different things. One, a man opening fire, not at a courtroom, it looked like a courtroom setting, but at a school board meeting. I was just getting a Twitter on that. And another one about the police saying that they're trying to find a guy, a gunman, who had a helmet on, who robbed Bellagio. You know the Bellagio, right? Robbed it of $1.5 million in casino chips and did that Tuesday morning. Also might have robbed a casino last week. Boy, you know those movies that Brad Pitt and George Clooney and those guys made, Ocean's 11, which was a remake, Ocean's 12 and whatever. I think they did three, right? At least two. Anyway, that's what the first one was, the remake was based on. And you look at the pictures of this stuff, crazy. As somebody who lived in Vegas, boy, I would not have thought that. But he had a visor hiding his face, and he rode to the Bellagio Casino on a motorcycle, walked inside. He pulled a gun at a craps table. There were people gambling. It was like 4 o'clock in the morning. And he told everyone not to move. He took the chips that were there. They were in the box that they keep on the craps table. Then he ran outside to the motorcycle. He rode away. He rode away. How does that happen in the Bellagio? And they think the same guy went lowbrow, because Bellagio's big time. High rollers and stuff. I mean, anybody can go in, but it's a high roller casino for the most part. Then the guy goes to the lower end of the scale and goes in the Suncoast Hotel and robbed, apparently might have been the guy who robbed them as well. Same thing, went into the cage area. There was a poker tournament room and went in and got $20,000 in cash. And that casino is about 20 minutes or so off of the strip and away from the Bellagio. But the casinos, you know this, have so many cameras all over the place. So they've got surveillance images of both robberies, and the guy looks the same. It looks like the same guy with the helmet on. And of course, the police are out there saying, if you know who did this or you have an anonymous tip, please call us. And they're releasing their number. Call Crime Stoppers. But the Bellagio, that's a, wow, $1.5 million. That guy's pretty brave. You think he was casing the place and finally decided, well, I think they're kind of asleep at the wheel here, and if there's a way to do it, it's going to be more like the smash and grab, so I'm just going to show up on my motorcycle, go in, and just go for it, just reach for it and not worry about it. And that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that he probably had spent some time in both of the casinos, looked for the time of day that would work, and just decided to go in and, you know, do it. And I was talking here at the top about some of the movies that have been nominated for the Golden Globes, which is supposedly a precursor to what could be the Academy Award winners. And the big one is always, you know, besides Best Actor and Actress and whatnot, is always the pictures. And I already mentioned Inception was one of them that made the list, But some of the other ones include Black Swan. Black Swan, I mean, that just came out. About two ballerinas who go after each other, right? Men like women fighting, so maybe there's something to that. Speaking of fighting, The Fighter also makes the list. The Social Network made the list, and The King's Speech. So some of these are movies that just came out. The Social Network is obvious. It's about Facebook, and you know about that movie. And The King's Speech, not as obvious. The actor, and I can't think of his name now, he's tremendous. Inception is, I think, is one that may, I don't know if Inception will pull away or not. I know, Matt, you liked Inception, too. Didn't you see Inception? We talked about that.
You are correct. I did see it, and I thought it was pretty amazing. It was one of the, there are very few movies that aren't comedies that I would actually see again. Because once a plot's kind of been divulged, I lose interest. After, like, if I see a movie, it's kind of like, I don't know if I'll see that one again. Even if it is a really good movie. But this was one movie where I could watch it a couple times over and still be entertained by it.
Yeah, oh yeah. It's completely entertaining, I think. I agree with you. I know there were a lot of people that didn't like it, but like I said, we definitely liked it. Now, The Fighter I want to go and see because that's about a Boston boxer, Mickey Ward. And I want to see that. I heard that was pretty decent.
You just want to see Wahlberg take his shirt off again.
I do, too. No. I want to see him swing his fist. I think that guy is awesome. I do. I
like Wahlberg, but he takes his shirt off in movies as much as Tom Cruise runs in movies.
Oh, I know. Well, they even made fun of that in Date Night. He was in that comedy, and that was a big spoof, I think, on him taking his shirt off. Absolutely. And the guy I was trying to think of that's in the King George movie is Colin Firth is in that movie. He's good. And you know what's interesting, too? Johnny Depp was nominated for two different movies. Alice in Wonderland was one of them. And The Tourist, which hasn't done well, just came out last week. He was nominated for that movie as well. But the movie I really, really want to see, and I guarantee that some of you want to see listening to me, is 127 Hours. And it's based on the true story of a hiker, remember, who was trapped beneath a rock or boulder. It's not a rock, a boulder. For 127 hours. And James Franco is nominated for Best Actor in a Drama for that one. The screenplay also is up for an award and original score. And I like James Franco, and I love the idea of this picture. I have not seen it, but I'm going to try to see it in the next couple of weeks. All right, if you have any thoughts on the show, you can shoot them to me at americatonight.net.
Oh, just a minute. We are being reduced to reading emails from some jerk like we're in a choir or something. That is absolutely ridiculous to be reading emails from jerks. I resent it.
This constant bickering is going to put me in a coma.
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.